Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
So I'll say that again for the recording. Thank you very much. Oh, have you had a good day?
Yes.
Good. Good, good, good. I've had my afternoon nap, so I'm feeling refreshed. Right then. Here we are. It's the last day of the Olympics. Not so many late nights. Right. I keep messing up the recordings when I'm doing it. Yeah, you start recording a channel and then they flick channel, don't they? They go on to BBC Two or BBC Four. I missed the hockey penalties. I was most upset. But never mind. I'll catch up on the iPlayer, I suppose. Something like that. Right. Back to this evening's message. And I've entitled it, Who Are You? Thank you, Hazel. I knew you wouldn't let me down. Who are you? Right. Some confused people like to do a challenge or visit some place to find out who they are. The trouble is, if they don't know who they are, how will they know the person they find is really them? Thank you. I need you back on the drums for that, Jay. All right, yeah. So your natural self is not your natural self. Right, left on our own, human beings can never become what God created us to be. Okay. Because God created us in his image to display his glory. Yeah? But sin and disobedience in humankind has hijacked God's original purpose for human beings and humankind. Okay. So we have actually become, the Bible says, God's enemy. Once upon a time, you were God's enemy. Think about that. No, I was God's enemy once. But thank God, God has sent us a hero. His name is Jesus, which means Savior, because he saved us. He saved all humankind, if they would put their trust and faith in him. He redeemed us. Brought us back for God. It's been great. Every time you see Rio in the World Cup and now again in the Olympics, when you see that great big statue, arms stretched out. I know it's only a statue, but it's still pretty awe-inspiring, you know. Christ the Redeemer. Yeah. It's like, come on, everybody, come unto me, anybody, and I'm going to give you rest. I want to redeem you. I want to bring you back to God. It's always an awesome thing. It would be great if we had a mountain like that, wouldn't it? And we could kind of like, stick a massive statue on. Or perhaps we should build one, shall we? Build a great big mountain in the top of in Boston with a Christ Redeemer on top. Make it taller than the one in Brazil. That would put us on the map, wouldn't it? Right. Yeah, Jesus redeemed us, brought us back to God. We can now be reconciled to God. And reconciled, a military term, back in the day, a defeated foe would talk terms of surrender to the person that had overcome them. They want to be reconciled to them. And so a Jesus follower is someone who surrenders their life to God. You know, and they talk terms with God. When you become a Christian, you talk terms with God. What you're actually saying is, I make you my Lord and my Savior. So it's my Lord and my Savior. Too often we teach that Jesus wants to be your Savior, but hey, he wants to be our Lord and our Savior. The two have got to go together. And it's with bonuses though. You know, when you make Jesus your Lord and your Savior, you get full rights of a full a firstborn son. And how cool is that? Yeah, God adopts us into his family. Just like, again, back in Roman times, if you was adopted, you got full rights of a son, you know. And there was one of the emperors who adopted a son, and he was the first child, so he became the firstborn son. He was his firstborn heir. So it's a very powerful thing when you see that in the Bible. Right, so God then lives in you by his Spirit, and that is your natural self, the person God intended you to be, three-part person. We're going to come on to that again a bit later. So, Jesus made it clear in John chapter 3, verse 3. when he was speaking to Nicodemus, who was a religious teacher. And he'd come to see Jesus at night, kind of sneaky-like, because he was a bit afraid of the rest of his boys, the Pharisees, because they didn't really like Jesus. But Jesus told them straight, which is what they didn't like. Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth," and he always tells us the truth, "unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Lots of people don't like to hear that kind of message nowadays. You know, I say, wow, there are many roads to God. Not according to Jesus, there aren't, okay? And he's the one who always tells us the truth because he is the truth. Jesus is the truth. I tell you the truth. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So it doesn't matter whether you're religious or whether you're a good person. You know, everybody thinks they're good, don't they? I'm good, you know, I'm all right, you know, I don't harm too many people. That type of thing. But that's all your own efforts. And we can't get into heaven with our own efforts. We can't. God has to do a number on us to make our spirit come alive. John 3, 5 to 8. Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." It's a mystery how people are born of the Spirit. I know it's true. I know it's true for my life because I've seen the effects that God has had in my life. I've seen the effects that God has had in some of your lives as well. You know, we could all, I expect, give a testimony of how God has changed our life. God turned my life the right way up. So you can't explain it. I'm not going to try. All I know is he changes your life. It's a mystery. I like some of the mysteries of God. But yeah, your spirit which was dead becomes alive. Romans 8, verse 15 to 17. "So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves." That's good, isn't it? "Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering." Right, so now, when you've been born again, your spirit can communicate with God's spirit. When you're born of the spirit, your spirit can communicate with God's spirit. I'm God's child. I can call him Abba Father, which is an Aramaic term, which is one of the languages that the old Hebrews used to speak. They picked it up when they were in Babylon. And so, it was a familiar term to them. In fact, I still believe they use it today in Israel. So when it's an exclusive term, and not everybody is God's child. You know, the Bible clearly teaches that. Jesus even said to some of the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." Strong stuff, isn't it? Strong stuff. But you know, unless you're confronted with the truth, you can't do anything about it, can you? Only if you're born again is God your Abba Father. And we should be grateful and live a life like a child of God. Good to see Neymar. You have a look on Twitter. Neymar's there. He's down on his knees. He's giving glory to God. He's saying, "To you be all glory and honor." He's a Brazilian football player. If you didn't know, he scored a penalty that helped Brazil get their gold medals last night. It's great when you see people just kind of, really out with their faith, you know, in front of the whole world. Unashamed, giving glory. Wonderful. All right. So then, how do we live a life like a child of God? How do we do that? The Bible tells us that our salvation is 100% God's grace and his favor. Absolutely true, that is. And it also says that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So, yeah, there is a bit of work to be done. Some people nowadays, that the hyper grace message likes to tell us, it's no work. It's all God's grace. It's all God's grace. You know, there is a big truth there that, yeah, there's a whole load of God's grace, but God expects us to do something as well. We cooperate with God, and we work it out by actively pursuing sanctification, which is a big word. So we run after sanctification. What is sanctification? Right. It means to be separated to God for his purpose. Yeah? Separated to God for his purpose. Recognize that we're conquered and now we're choosing to live by God's terms. Okay? How do we do that? Jesus gave us a big clue when he prayed for us. John 17, verse 17 says this. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Okay, so we need God's word in us. If you think you can get by without reading your Bible, you're rather deluded. You're disagreeing with Jesus. All right, a saint means to be a sanctified one. So there is work that we need to do. And again, like salvation, it is a progressive thing. We were saved when Jesus died for us. We continue to be saved as we work out our salvation, and we will be saved on the day of judgment. And it's the same with our sanctification. God sanctified us when we became Christians. We continue to be sanctified through this life, and he will sanctify us again on the day of judgment, which is really good. So we're set apart for God's purpose. Each of us has an individual purpose. Yeah, you are special and unique. Every single Christian is special and unique. You know, that there's no one more special than the other one. You know, each one of us has a specific purpose. And Jesus taught that, you know, when his disciples were saying, who's the best son? Who do you think is going to be the greatest? Jesus brought them over, lads. Come and look at this child, you know, this child. Become like a child, and then you're going to become greatest in the kingdom. Just put your faith and your hope in me. Okay. Right. Now, imagine Usain Bolt, what a character he is, but he decides he doesn't want to sprint. He decides he wants to be a shot putter. So he says, I'm not going to do the 100 meters. I'm going to get on the shot put. And he wouldn't really do very well. It's not his gifting. It's not where he's supposed to be. It would be a complete waste of his gift, wouldn't it? And he would cheat us all. Can you get the illustration? You know, we need to be in the place where God has gifted us so that we can be a blessing to other people, so that we can really flow in the gift that God has given us. Yeah? We need to get into prayer. We need to get into the Bible to find out what gift God has given us so that we can serve him most effectively and then get on with it. Yeah? There's a bit of work involved in that. You know, we've got to seek the Lord. There's a bit of work in seeking the Lord. It's something that is active. Yeah, it's God's gifting. Yeah, it's God's anointing. Absolutely, yeah. We rely 100% on God. But, you know, there is something that he expects us to do. He loves to cooperate with us. We are co-workers with Christ. It's awesome. Awesome. Right, I'm going to talk some more Olympics. I think we're a bit more of a sporty crowd here tonight, so no apologies. Here we go. We've got Tony here. He's an Olympic standard cyclist. Angus there. He's an Olympic standard runner. Going to be doing the marathon soon. Have we got any swimmers in the house? Hey, no swimmers? Sharon's pretty good at swimming, actually. She's not here tonight, you know, but I'm going to big up my wife. She's a great swimmer, and she's going to win gold next time round in Tokyo. We can all dream, can't we? Okay. But, yeah, got to talk some Olympics. It's been great watching all the guys, all the girls, really getting stuck in, really getting kind of excited. You see all the tears and all the emotion coming out at the end of their events when they've won their respective medals, etc. It's been awesome just to hear them kind of talking and saying about how fantastic it has been to at the culmination of everything. You know, it's all the hard work has now been worthwhile. They're coming out with all these kind of different statements, you know, and there's something about it that sends a little bit of goosebumps up your spine, isn't it? As you're watching these guys just absolutely giving their all to something that they're really good at, something in us kind of admires that. Yeah? Something in us aspires to that. I think there's that little tagline, isn't there, that the BBC put at the end. Be inspired, you know? And it is inspiring to watch these guys at the top of their game winning these medals. And yeah, with all the sweat and tears that go with it. And I wouldn't stop to watch a bloke sat on the sofa stuffing his face with Doritos. I wouldn't stop up all night to watch that. And I don't suppose many other people would either. It wouldn't get great viewing, I don't think. You know? That kind of thing doesn't inspire anybody, right? Well, I don't think it does anyway. No? No, not any here anyway. Okay, here's the question. Do you want to be an Olympic standard Jesus follower or a couch potato one? All right. So there was an Olympic standard Christian, a guy called Paul, wrote a whole load of the New Testament. And here's what he had to say on the subject. He was getting pretty Olympic himself. He was, I'm feeding pretty Olympic today. That's from the Winter Olympics. But from Cool Runnings, if you've ever seen that film, it's good fun. Again, inspiring stuff. I am feeling very Olympic. Shane does a better impression of it than I do. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. And back in the biblical days, they knew of the Olympics because the Olympics are thousands of years old. And this is what Paul is alluding to at the time. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Sounds like he's putting some effort in there, doesn't it? You know? He's not just kind of sitting by, oh, you know, it's all grace, grace, grace. The guy knew about grace, yeah? But, you know, he's also saying, I'm going to put some effort into this because of what God has done for me, and by the power of God that he's got inside of me, I'm going to strive to be the best that I can for God through his power. Okay. So, discipline the body. I find that interesting. You know, we're spiritual people, but we've got to discipline our bodies. That's what Paul was talking about, right? Again, listening to our medalists, all their winning secret was the hard work has now paid off. You've heard it again and again and again as they've talked about how they've managed to win their medals. The hard work has all paid off. Our triathlete, Alistair Brownlee, it was said of him that he's got an amazing ability to run through pain and to push through it to the end. You know, it's like he doesn't feel the pain. All he sees is the prize is ahead of him, and he can push through all of it. And you could see it on his face, couldn't you? Those of you who watched it, the guy had kind of pain on his face as he was kind of running up to the line. Then he took it, collapsed down, and on came his breath. What a story that was. But yeah, great stuff. Push through things in your Christian life. You know, if some things are difficult, God wants you to push through. Yeah. With his help, with his strength, you can push through it. Okay. So let's carry on. Our body, what the Bible calls the flesh, doesn't like spiritual discipline. Like the athletes, it lives in the good of the results of it, but the process is a battle. Muhammad Ali, he had a quote. He said, I hated every minute of my training, but I wanted to be the greatest, so I knew that I had to do it. You know, the flesh, as the Bible calls it, the flesh, it loves sin. It loves selfishness. You ever found out that? Have you ever discovered that for yourself? You know, your flesh, it kind of likes to steer towards that. And we've got to train our bodies so that it won't. You know, we've got to focus on God. We've got to do that mentally. You know, we've got to have a lot of mental strength. Say, no, I will focus on God. I will give God glory in my thoughts. And then your body comes back into line the way that God wants it to be. You can read about it all there in Galatians chapter 5. It talks about how the flesh longs for sexual sin, spiritual sins, relational sins, things like gossip, divisiveness, etc. That comes natural to the flesh. You know, we got to deny that natural bent, if you like, towards those things. But it talks about the spirit that lives in your body wants the exact opposite. You read that again in Galatians 5. And the spirit produces in us all kinds of fruit. I'm just going to mention the first three: love, joy, and peace. And folks would give absolute millions to be able to have that within their life. You know, there's lots of people, they can have all the money, they can have all the cars and all the trappings that come from a life of just living for the pleasures of the body, and yet they are not satisfied. They are not happy. Many of them are taking their own lives because they get there and find out that it's just empty and there's nothing satisfying in that. And God gives us all of that for free. You know, it's part of the inheritance that he gives us as children of God. Why isn't it more people don't want to come to Jesus? What's the matter with them? Deceived. Yeah. Come on, everybody. Come to Jesus. Right. Like it or not, there is a war within us. Yeah. Galatians 5, verse 17. The sinful nature, or what should be translated really, the flesh, wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. There's a battle that goes on inside of us. You know, I have that battle every day. What am I going to do? Am I going to do what my spirit wants? Am I going to do what is easy for my flesh to do? Yeah, it's a lifelong battle. It's a lifelong battle. But God has given us all the equipment we need to be able to overcome and to win. That's how we become more than conquerors. There's got to be a battle if you're going to be a conqueror, isn't it? There's got to be a battle if you're going to be victorious, you know? God has called us into a life of victory. So we can get victory over the flesh. We can get victory over the devil, yeah? The devil's a loser. He wants you to be a loser. Just don't cooperate with him, yeah? Because God has made you to be a winner. God has made you to be a champion. Yeah. So yeah, let's fight that good fight, as the Bible says. Fight the good fight of faith. You know, there's an activity about it. You need to be active with it. And not just a couch potato Christian. Otherwise, you're going to get walked all over and find out that you're losing that battle. Okay, so win or lose, you choose. You need Jesus to overcome. Yeah? You need to admit, I'm weak. And then you find out that you can be strong in God's power. So some of the battles we face, do we stay in bed or do we get up and pray? Yeah? Do you watch telly or do we read the Bible? Do we just get on a computer, which can be addictive, or do we get into the Word and get into some praise? Do we live in unforgiveness or do we forgive? You know, some of the battles, and each one will be different. You know, we all face different battles. And we all face different challenges in our lives. It's all different, you know. Each one of us face different temptations. But God has given us the ability to be able to overcome. Yeah? And so we fight the good fight of faith. And like Pastor Colin, I'm realizing I'm no good. I need God's strength. I need his power. Every day. You know, I know that I can get moody. I know that I can get snappy. It's hard to believe, I know. Vengeful. These kind of things, but if I can put my flesh in its place, I'm a better person, I'm a better dad, I'm a better husband, I'm a better friend, I'm a better work colleague. You know, I can be an encouragement to those I'm with instead of getting kind of stressed out and really stressy, you know. I can be the better person that God has called me to be under God's lordship. And so can you, yeah. Right then, how many people know? It's no good doing this tonight, is it? How many people know that we are body, soul, and spirit? Yeah. No? No, we're not. No, we're not. You just fall for it every time. I love it. I love it. We are actually spirit, soul, and body. In that order, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay, so I'm going to need three volunteers. One. Come on, Jay, you're so good. Two. And a third one, please. Well done, Hayes. bringing it up for the girls. Yeah, all right, Jamie, you're just so spiritual. You're gonna have to be. You're gonna have to be spirit today. All right, that's the one he wanted. You're gonna be a. You're our soul man, okay? And Hazel, you're our body. All right. So we're gonna kill Jamie off again now. Don't cheer that loud, Hazel. Okay. All right. So before Christ came into our life, our spirit was dead in sin. That's a shame. It's an awful shame. But when Jesus comes into your life, you say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I receive you as my Lord. Your spirit comes alive. Hooray! Fantastic. What a good looking spirit you are. Isn't that awesome? So our spirit is now alive. We are born again. Now, as a Christian, we have a choice. We got these choices every day. What kind of people are we going to be? Are we going to be spirit-led people, or are we going to be flesh-led people? Unfortunately, some Christians are fleshy-led people. They're led by the desires of this life and of what they want to do, selfishness, etc. So we're going to take our body on a walk, our spirit, our soul, and our body are going to go for a walk, but it's going to be led by our flesh, which is Hazel. So Hazel, if you could walk that way and kind of stop towards the end, and Jamie's looking very sad because the spirit is grieved at the moment. You could stop there and not turn round. That would be awfully good. So at the moment there, we're soulful, fleshy Christians that are led by our flesh. But as soon as we repent, we turn around the other way. Ta-da. And now we are spirit-led people. Our spirit is now happy. Jamie is there with a big smile on his face. And the soul follows. The soul follows as well. The soul is happy because the Spirit of God and the life of God is pouring into there. And the soul informs the body. And actually the body gets happy as well. You know, because God is a God of joy. He fills our life full of joy. And if there isn't a smile on your face as a Christian, then we got problems. And we need to have a chat with you, yeah? But yeah, God is a God of joy. And he fills our life with joy. All right? So, next, God's spirit communicates with our spirit. So, I'm the spirit of God. I've got a promotion again. And I can say to the spirit of the body, listen, there's somebody out there who needs a word of encouragement, okay? So what I want you to do is go and talk to Audrey. You know, she's having a bit of a hard day, so I want you to go and talk to Audrey. Just inform soul, would you there, who's now going to talk to the body, and the body's going to put legs on the Spirit of God. It's going to take out the life of God to Audrey. It's going to impart the life of God. It's going to impart encouragement. It's going to impart blessings. And that's how it works. You know, God, Spirit, talks to our spirit. That informs our soul, that causes our body to get legs. And that's how the Christian life is supposed to be. Let's have a round of applause for our volunteers, please. Thank you very much. Yeah, basically what we've got to do is to tell our flesh to shut up and move out of the way. You know, we need to be spiritual people. And then we're going to find out that blessing pours out from our lives. Have you ever discovered that? You know, when you put to death your flesh, I think it was Paul talked about, I put it to death daily. You know, I die daily so that Christ can live through me, you know, and God's designed it that way, I think. You know, every day we get a fresh start. You know, die daily to your flesh so that God's spirit can work for you. It's a good job that Paul didn't backslide, otherwise there would have been lots of dead Christians in the churches, wouldn't there? You know what I mean? That's the kind of guy that he used to be. He used to go around killing Christians. And thankfully, you know, he put to death those kind of desires within him. And he became an awesome apostle of God who brought life everywhere he went, spiritual life. Right, and the good news is your spirit, unlike the Olympians, doesn't get old. Your spirit can go on and just keep on growing. And that's the way God wants it to be in our lives. The older we get, the more of a champion we can be, because we're growing more and more in our sanctification, in our knowledge of God, in our love of God. You know, we can grow just like that river. The river of God gets wider and wider and deeper and deeper. And that's the way it can be for us as Christians. You know, we don't have to get bored. We don't have to get stale. There's that freshness of God that can pour into our lives, and we can be more and more of a blessing the more and more we get to know God, and the more and more we can let God's Spirit flow through us. So yeah, be a champion. Be the champion that God has created you to be. Do your training in the secret place. Do your training when you're praying. Do your training when you're reading your Bible. Let God sanctify you daily with his word and in his presence. When you come into church, come and get more and more of God into your life. Get so full of God, you know, that when people squeeze you, they're just going to get some of God coming into their life, yeah? All right. You're going to be heading for a award that's a whole lot better than a gold medal, and that is God's approval. Well done, good and faithful servant. You go to an eternal reward. Can you imagine that? It's going to be awesome. So yeah, let's not live to please our flesh, because that's heading for the grave, yeah? It's heading for the grave. No redemption for the body. It's got to die, you know? It's got to go either into the ground, or if you prefer, you can go toasty. But our spirit lives on, ready for the day when Jesus comes back like a champion to the earth, to conquer the earth and to rule forever and ever, to take back what is rightfully his. And that's when we get our supercharged, super ripped, gorgeous, heavenly body that is faster and stronger and pain-free. And like I was saying, it sounds more attractive the older you get. it's an awesome thing. All right. The most rewarding life is the one that God has designed for us. It comes with his love, with his joy, with his peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, etc. All right. So, again, what does that look like? We fulfill the purpose that he has made for us. It's going to mean serving people in some way. Each of us has got a purpose which involves serving people, like Jesus, the great servant king. Yeah, it's tough sometimes, but hey, let's do it anyway. Do we get disappointments along the way? Do we get knocks? Do we get tripped up? Yeah, but we get up and we keep on going. From heaven, they are cheering us on. Again, here's a little bit of the Olympics coming into the Bible. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. This was the writer to the Hebrews. And again, he's doing it with the context of the Olympics being around in the ancient Olympics being around in that days. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Because the Olympians in those days, believe it or not, used to run around in the noddy. they didn't have anything. Those Greeks, they were a bit rude like that, weren't they? Can you imagine there would be full stadiums if they did that nowadays, wouldn't they? But they wouldn't have to worry about attendance. But let's not imagine it too much. It was only the fellas used to run in those days. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So yeah, we've got to kind of get on with life. We've got to make sure that there's nothing holding us back from the purpose of God. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. We can see the effort that Jesus put in there, can't we? You know, and he calls us to that kind of effort as well. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Thank you, Angus. That's cool. You know, so we got a crowd cheering us on. I always imagine our guardian angels. They're kind of getting excited when we're putting our effort into God. When we're getting down on our knees, they're kind of cheering. Yes, my Christian's praying again. They kind of nudge the angel next to him and see, my Christian's praying again. It's praying longer than your Christian. You know, what are you doing? You know, you need to kind of cajole them a little bit more. Did you see how generous they were? Did you see how they forgave that person, you know? And heaven cheers us on. The saints that have gone before us, you know, they're getting a grandstand view of our victories. Hopefully not our defeats, but our victories. And they cheer us on, you know, that great crowd in heaven. Tell your flesh, I'm not getting on a serious diet of prayer and praise and Bible. You know, I'm a sanctified, spirit-filled person living in God's strength, living out the purpose that God has got for me. I'm going to glorify God whilst I am in this body. Heaven loves that kind of stuff. It loves the sound of that. You know, it loves it when we're living for God, when we're praising God, when our life is glorifying to God. Let's be those kind of people. You know, let's be those Olympic standard Christians that God has called us to be. You know, some of us are more up front than others, but God sees and God rewards. It's going to come that day when you're on the podium, yeah? God sees and God rewards. Come on, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this life that you have given to us, that you've gifted to us, that God, Lord, we're just ordinary people, and yet you chose us, Lord, to be extraordinary, to be supernatural. Lord, you saw the gifts that we had to bring. Lord, you saw the gifts that you was going to give us so that we could be a blessing to each other, so that we could be a blessing to this world. I want to pray, Lord God, that we're going to determine in our hearts that we're going to be the people that you want us to be. Lord, we're not going to settle for second best. That, Lord, we're going to go for gold, Lord God. And that, the people who we get to see in this world are going to see. They're going to feel the influence of God in their life because of what you're doing through us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for choosing each one of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting your hand upon us. God, we want to pray that you're going to take us out with your blessing. This week's going to be a great week for us, Lord God, a week of victories, a week of being a champion and pressing through stuff, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.